Okay, look into your Bibles, if you have one. If not, I'll read the story to you. And maybe it'll even come up on the screen, Matthew chapter 9. I want to speak this morning about an irresistible invitation. Think about that, irresistible invitation. And we'll just read from verse 9 and we'll hear about how Jesus issued an invitation to one man. And he began to issue loads of invitations afterwards because he was so excited about Jesus. So let's just read this amazing story. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Now, so it's just an interesting encounter with Jesus that is going on here. And I pray that God will make his word, this story, live in us this morning. That it won't just be something that's written in the Bible, but would actually be there. And maybe start to think about what Matthew was experiencing and what it was like to be in this household of what the Bible calls tax collectors and sinners. Now, Jesus saw Matthew. I think that's already amazing, that Jesus actually sees people who aren't yet following him. And if you're not following Jesus today, he sees you. And he sees each one of us. God has a heart and a plan for the individual. And he always sees the individual in a crowd. And maybe it was a kind of busy place, and this tax collector was sitting in this booth working, and Jesus comes up to him and says, very simply, "Come and follow me." Now, Matthew, his job was despised in that society. A tax collector, generally speaking, took taxes off people. And in taking taxes off people, he would add on a lot for himself, give the taxes to the Roman government, the invading kind of government. And the Jews all had to pay their taxes, and the tax collector would almost be stealing money from people. That's the tax man for you. And he was taking more than was right, and therefore feathering his own nest, or making sure that he himself was blessed and gained by other people's money. So you could call him a thief. Because if you take money that's not right to take from people, it makes you a thief. You're stealing from them. It's not right. There is also this kind of, and always when you read stories about Jesus, in the background you have this group called Pharisees. And you might not know what they are. And I pray you'll never know what they are. But, I mean, in terms of your own experience. But a Pharisee in that time actually were supposed to reveal who God truly was. And their concept of God was that he was judge and out to judge people. And it's actually true that God is judge. He's the judge of all men and women and children. He's the judge. They also said God's holy. That means he's perfect. He hates sin. And everything that you do wrong makes you an outsider. Well, it's true God is holy. God does hate sin. And we see that Jesus is here. And the Pharisees hate Jesus because he is saying that God is actually different to what they're thinking. He's not just judge, he's not just holy, but he's also, and there's this word, merciful. God is a merciful God. So whilst he is judge, he is holy, Jesus actually said, I want you to go and learn what this means. I desire mercy. Now, what does mercy mean? It means not treating people as they deserve when they have done wrong. And so the Pharisees hated Jesus. Jesus was the most controversial, and he still is. Jesus is controversial today. He's the most controversial person you will ever encounter. Because he says, he makes these amazing claims, God's my father. Which means that Jesus is saying, I'm God's son. Which makes him an authority on everything. And Jesus actually claimed to know what God wanted, what God was saying, to actually speak the words of God. And to come and reflect to the world the true nature of God. And so in his action of inviting Matthew to be a close follower, to come into relationship with himself and to be a follower of his, he was actually saying, I know all the rottenness that's in your life. I know exactly everything you've done wrong. It's not that I don't know, but I am actually here to reflect that I'm a merciful God. I'm not here to treat you as your sin deserves. Now, the Pharisees wouldn't even go near tax collectors. They wouldn't eat with them. And I have to share an example once that I... Just a couple of years ago, we had an accountant come and check the church accounts. And we invited them whilst they were here with us, and they came to my home to actually have lunch with us. Now, they had worked for a religious, Christian religious organization before, doing their accounts. And this organization that said they were Christians said, well, you can't eat with us. We want you to do our accounts, but you can't come and eat in our house. And you can't wear trousers. And so when she showed up to ours, she brought a packed lunch to eat on her own, thinking she couldn't eat with us, and she wore a skirt. So the Pharisees are still alive and kicking today, are they not? And we actually said, that's not Jesus. That's not the Jesus we know and love. He loves people, and he wants to be with the very people you are saying you should live away from. He wants to get into the very lives of the people you think are the worst of the worst. Because Jesus loves sinners. He loves people who aren't right with him yet. He loves people and he wants to eat with them. So Jesus was controversial. He associated with sinners. The crowds, the ordinary people, flocked to hear him because he opened up an understanding about who truly God was, not religious thinking about what God hates about each one of us. He showed that God is love and he actually intends to do people good. He actively wants to help people. But also show them that there is another way to live, to not leave them in their lifestyle, but to empower them to change. Yeah, brilliant. And so Jesus comes up and he offers an irresistible invitation. Yeah. I believe becoming a Christian is an irresistible invitation. Matthew, sitting there, is thinking. Now let's think about this encounter Matthew had with Jesus. Matthew is there going, he wants me? You're kidding. God wants me? Little old me? Bad old me? God wants me? You mean he values me enough to come to me personally and say, come and follow me? God wants a relationship with moi? Care? Astounding. And I believe that Matthew encountered God through Jesus that day, because Jesus is the Son of God. And he, what did he encounter? He encountered love that he had never met before. Not in a woman, not in his mum, not with his kids, not with anybody who was his best friend. He encountered a perfection of love that is not found anywhere else in the world or the universe, but with a relationship with God. He encountered and responded to this attractive, radical acceptance. When somebody actually says, I want you to be with me and walk with me and do life with me, who is so important? God. Should we face who's asking? Who's the invitation coming from? God. Hello? God's issuing an invitation to the whole world, actually. Come on, follow me. And this attractive, radical forgiveness. I'm not going to treat you as your sins deserve. I'm not going to punish you and kind of sit and have correction lessons for the rest of your life. I just want you with me. And I'll give you the power to be like me. To want to be different. To stop being a thief. To stop overcharging on your accounts. To stop lying. To stop grumbling. To stop doing life without God. I want you to come and walk with me. Matthew had a life-changing encounter with Jesus. And I bet he said, Pharisees, religion, no thanks. Jesus, why wouldn't I? This is the best person I have ever met. Now, church, is he? Is he the best of the best person we have ever met? Is his invitation irresistible? It was for me. And if it isn't for you today, I don't think you've met the real Jesus. Because the real Jesus is irresistible. The real Jesus you can't say no to. He's the one that actually makes sense of life. He gives hope. He gives a future. He gives a love that actually makes you secure. If God loves you, that's it. It's a cool thing. God loves me. That's it. He wants me. God wanted me. God wants you. Isn't that amazing? God, Jesus comes up and he says, whatever life you're in, I don't care. Come and follow me. It's an invitation that is irresistible. Jesus said, I'm the door. I'm your entry point. The entry point isn't a changed life, trying to sort out your life. The entry point is a person, Jesus Christ. And whoever enters through me will be saved. Whoever comes through me will be saved. You can't come to God any other way than through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way to the Father. But what a way! And what love! And what irresistible mercy that doesn't treat us as we deserve, but invites us to come into relationship with God. Wow! Can you really think about this? You are invited into a relationship with the God who made the universe, who's the creator and maker of everything, you and me. Wake up. Wake up, shake up. We're blessed. This is the best invitation I have ever received. I've never had a better one. And nobody could take me off track now. I've met and found the love of my life. And that's it. I'm his follower of Jesus. Wherever he goes, I'm going to go. Because I love him and he's the best person that I know. Now the next thing that happens is there's a party in Matthew's house. And I just think it's amazing that Jesus said yes. Because he wants to be with Matthew. He wants Matthew with him, and he also wants to be with Matthew. So he shows up at Matthew's house, but I can imagine what Matthew was like after that day. God, he went out to see all his friends. They didn't have email. They didn't have a phone. So he had to go and see people. Unless he sent one of his servants, because I think he's quite wealthy, because he had a big house, because loads were there. And he probably had servants make the meal. Okay, so he's probably wealthy. But he wants to get an invitation out, so he runs around, gets all his friends and says, guys, I've got to tell you something. I've met Jesus, right? A religious person. Well, he's not like the people we've met before. Not like you think he is. I've met Jesus, and Jesus is amazing. I want to tell you he's amazing. That's all I want to tell you. And if you come and sit in my house, you're going to hear how amazing he is. You are going to get to experience him. I want you to have what I've experienced. And I believe he was irresistible in his invitation. Not, do you want to come to church? Jesus is amazing. He's changed my life. I'm going to tell all my friends. I'm going to tell everybody that I've met someone who doesn't treat me like I deserve. Someone who is willing to give me everything when all I can give him is my own heart and life. He changed me, I bet Matthew said. And you know, I don't want to do the wrong things anymore. Because that's what Jesus does. When you meet him, really meet him, you don't want to stay sitting in your tax collector's sinner's booth. It's staying in a sinner's booth. We get out of the booth and get walking. We follow Jesus because he gives the power and the desire and the heart, a new heart. Meeting Jesus does something to your heart that actually transforms you as a person and says, I really want to do and be like Jesus. Now an invitation, just think about an invitation. Aren't you glad somebody once invited you? Has anybody ever received an invitation before you met Jesus to either go to church or to go to Sunday school as a child or go to a group or go to a concert? Anybody? Who's received an invitation before you met Jesus? Right. Aren't you glad somebody invited you? I'm so glad that I was given an invitation. Because I know that God always wanted me to be invited. And he always wanted you to be invited. And actually, Jesus' eye is on those people who aren't already in the house. His eye is on those who are not yet following him. And he says to them, I want you. And I want to be with you. An invitation is a powerful thing. And I'm speaking about an invitation to deliberately ask a person to go somewhere spiritually. Right? To deliberately ask someone to go somewhere. Like Jesus did, come follow me. So not to stay, but to move, to go somewhere spiritually. So Jesus gave the invite. Matthew responded by saying, yeah, I really want to follow you. Jesus didn't sort of share all the details about what it meant. He just trusted him and went with him. And then began the journey. And we're all on a journey. We don't know everything. But we're following, aren't we? For example, he might have said, come and see how amazing he is. And you'll find him when we worship in church. Come to our church. You're going to hear stories about Jesus. Come to our church. You're going to find out what God's like. You're going to hear him through the teaching. All the false ideas that you might have about who Jesus is, you're going to find out. And an invitation can be like a door opening to lead someone into a knowledge and understanding about Jesus so they can meet Jesus too. Come to our Pampa Night. It's massive to invite people to events that we hold. Come to our Christmas celebration. It's massive to say, come, come with me somewhere spiritually. It's so important that we are irresistible and issuing invitations in that irresistible manner rather than, yeah, we got a chance, you can come if you like, but we're just singing carols like these days, isn't it? Jesus says, I've had my life changed by Jesus. Come, you're going to hear him. Just experience what I've experienced. But it's an invitation to move someone closer to Jesus. Maybe an invitation by sharing a little bit of your story. If you share a little bit about what God's done in you, of how you changed spiritually and how you began to be interested in following Jesus, sharing that little bit will actually move people closer to Jesus. God wants us to be faithful to do the inviting, to be like Matthew and invite as many of the people that we meet as possible to move from one place to another. Not just to pray for them, but invite. Go on, tell somebody next to you. God is asking me to invite people to go somewhere spiritually. The power of an invitation. Isn't it simple? How many of you might have a Christmas party? People, friends around for a Christmas meal? Nobody? You're all unsociable lot. Anybody going to invite people to your house for a Christmas celebration? Anybody want to plan to invite friends who don't know Jesus to come and celebrate something for Christmas? Rather than your little normal crowd, Jesus wants to open the doors of our homes, our hearts, our language, our conversation, our church, and say, come along with me. When Pastor Andy was ministering last weekend, he said, this church could grow easily double overnight. If you invite each one of you, one person. If you invite, we're not talking about just praying, we're saying you bring someone here. Bring someone to your faith group where you're studying the Bible. Christian people don't know Jesus. And they need to get into an environment where Jesus is being presented. We're not embarrassed about Jesus, are we? How could we be embarrassed about the most amazing person we've ever met? It's time to stop being embarrassed. I am not ashamed of the good news of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God to salvation for all who believe. I'm not ashamed. God once said to a man called Jeremiah, just turn, if you've got your Bible, Jeremiah chapter 18. Thank you, Lord. Jeremiah chapter 18. He once spoke, and the thing is, God does speak. He speaks to us. He speaks to people who, like Matthew, who didn't know him, calls them into relationship. But this is a man who already knew the Lord, actually. And verse 1, this is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house and I saw him working at the wheel. Now, I'm not going to read any more than that, but I'm just going to say, God said to Jeremiah, I want you to change location. so that you can actually see more about what I have planned for you and for my people. So in other words, it was an invitation to move location. Oh, that rhymes. An invitation to move location. Go there and I'm going to speak to you. So God invites Jeremiah. He gets into the potter's house. He sees the clay. The potter is working on the wheel. And it's spinning around. And the potter's shaping it into the shape he wants. And in that, Jeremiah had a message from God, kind of an object lesson. That God is the potter and we are the clay. And that it's up to God to decide what he does with the clay. Hello? And Jeremiah had different spiritual light because he changed location. You see, I believe church meeting together is important because you need different spiritual light. And going to a building to join together with the church opens up new light. Yes. God is able to speak to you, and he's speaking to every single one of us this morning about an irresistible invitation. God is speaking to everyone. Be someone who invites people to go on a journey to discover more about me. And so God spoke to Jeremiah by changing location. You can't get it all on your own. You and God, you need church. You need to come into different places where you can hear God. And how much more do the people who don't know Jesus need to come into contact with you and the Jesus in you and what he has done for you and get to know about God through your life and through taking those people on a journey of discovery about Jesus. And how do we do this? It's so easy. Would you like to come with me to our faith group? Would you like to come to my house? We're having a few people round to talk about Jesus. Would you like to come for a meal? It's simple. Secondly, you could say, would you like to know a bit more about who Jesus really is? How many of you can do that? Is this doable? Would you like to know more? Can you? It's not rocket science. It's an invitation to take someone on a journey, to lead them to Christ, actually. We have written a course called Life Worth Living. It's actually sold out and we're back in to reprint that. And that's 5 sessions, powerful sessions about the gospel in a really meaningful way that you can do one-on-one or in a group with someone or some people, a few people, where they will learn about God's purpose for mankind, and how God's got a plan for them. And how God is good. They'll learn things about Jesus. It's a question and answer. By the way, any answer they have is right for them, so we don't correct. We just release truth. We just tell them about who the real Jesus is. And so you could say, would you like to do this amazing course over coffee with me sometime? Yeah. That's an invitation. Would you like to come on a journey of discovery with me? By the way, it's an amazing course. Many people have been saved. And it's gone out to many different churches in the country and even abroad because it's actually changed people's lives and they've met Jesus through this course. Praise God. Yes. I'm excited about that. Are you? And you could just say, would you like me to pray for you? That's another invitation. When somebody's not feeling well, you just give a little testimony, not for an hour, but for a few seconds, and say, do you know, we prayed, something changed, would you like me to pray for you? Yes. And if they say yes, go, brilliant. Jesus, keep your eyes open, don't go all. No. Just say, Jesus, I want to ask you to bring a solution into this situation. And I thank you, Lord, you want to do this person good. Amen. You've just prayed for them. And you can expect God to start to work in their lives. Or, as I say, you could invite them to church where God is in people. They might meet you and go, today I encountered God through a person that I met on the coffee team or on the door. I encountered the acceptance and love of Jesus as I walked into the building today. I encountered something different in the way people looked after my children. When the church worshipped, I couldn't believe it. It was modern, but it was powerful. It was different to X Factor. Because there's only one star. Jesus. He's the guest of honor in every meeting that we have. So Matthew's life was changed. And he became someone who met the irresistible Jesus. And he began to tell everyone about Jesus and invite them to get to hear him and know him personally. Jesus actually said to the Pharisees, because they cut in and they said, I don't like this. I don't like you inviting people. And I don't like you inviting Jesus. Jesus, what are you doing sitting with this lot? They're all no good nothings. And Jesus said, I value every single one of them. But I want you to learn something. It's the sick who need a doctor. You don't, if you think you're well, you don't need Jesus. But actually, anyone who doesn't actually have a relationship with Jesus through faith is sick. And what's the sickness? What does God mean that people are sick? Well, does he mean physically? Well, some people are. Does he mean mentally? Yes, yeah, some people are. Some people are heartbroken. They're sick in their hearts. But what does Jesus say the reason for the mess that's going on in our world is today? Because you see, if you think the world isn't sick, when we have news that an aeroplane is bombed out of the sky. There's something wrong. And it's not God that did that. We have to go back to the beginning to know who really God is. Because when God made the world and made mankind, everything he made was good. There was no bad. And the moment bad entered was the moment that people chose to turn away from God and do their own thing. Right. To live life without God. Yeah. And at that point, a being called Satan, because the devil is real. I tell you, when I found that out before I became a Christian, I got a bit scared. Yeah. I read a book called Satan on the Loose. I didn't like it. And there's some information that is good to be scared about. Because I realized that Satan was real. But so was my own sin. Something called sin is responsible for the mess we're in. God isn't responsible for killing people, blowing people up, making people sick. Jesus came to heal everyone. And to heal the sickness of all sicknesses. To be the cure for sin. Sin means to miss the mark with God. And the Bible says we've all missed the mark. We've all lied. We've all cheated. We've all betrayed God and walked away from him. We've all done our own thing. Some people have murdered people. Some people have committed adultery. Some people have done things they're so ashamed of, they don't think they can be forgiven. Maybe a bit like Matthew. But Jesus is standing in front of every single person here today and all over the world saying, come, follow me. I want a relationship with you. I'm willing to forgive you your sins so that you can come and be in relationship with me. When I found out that Satan was real and sin was real, I stopped blaming God for the mess we're in. Because I actually thought God was the problem. But Jesus came to be the answer. And the irresistible one at that? The God of love, who is also judge. He hasn't changed that he's judge. He hasn't changed his holiness. But he has shown mercy. How did he show mercy? He sent his son to die on a cross to take our sin so that we could receive Jesus and receive mercy and be forgiven our sins and begin a relationship with God through Jesus. So the sickness, why we're sick, is because of sin. And God is not the author of sin. People rebelled. We've all sinned, guys. Anybody who hasn't, pick up a stone and start throwing it at us all. Has anybody not sinned? My hand's down. But you see, Jesus saw me, no matter that I was in sin, he saw me and he said, come on, follow me. I'm going to change you. I'm going to forgive you. And I'm going to give you power to not want to sin anymore and to be a true follower of mine. And you'll do that because I love you and I want a relationship with you. And I'm like, yes, of course. You mean I get to be in relationship with this wonderful Jesus? Yes! Because I decided, I trusted, I believed in him. I chose to follow him, just like Matthew did. So God offers the cure for our sickness. And his name is Jesus. And whoever has Jesus has life and forgiveness. And whoever doesn't have Jesus doesn't have life. You're not living. Life's not life without Jesus. We've sung the song this morning. You can only live as God intended when you receive Jesus Christ. I'm going to finish with this. Because sometimes I think we don't really understand what Jesus is offering and how good it is. Imagine a person gets caught and found guilty of a crime that is punishable by death. That's the sentence. So probably a murder. You think, well, we don't do that in this country. Well, they do in some countries. But just imagine, found guilty, stands before the judge, the case is reviewed. Yep, you did it. And yes, you're guilty. And he's on death row. That's the punishment. And there will be a time when he will be executed. But the judge, having said that's the sentence, it's death, offers to take his punishment. Now, I mean, that's crazy. That's absolutely crazy. You imagine a judge issuing the law saying the punishment for this is death. But I, the judge, am willing to take the punishment. I'm going to send my son to die on the cross. To die in your place. So that you can come off death row by accepting his punishment that was laid on him and accepting Jesus, this is the story, accepting what the judge is offering, the forgiveness and the way out of that punishment. It's crazy. Mercy is crazy. It doesn't make sense. A judge saying, my son will die in your place. Isn't that ridiculous? Now the man has a choice, so do we all. Do I accept what the judge is offering, or do I say, I don't want anything to do with this? I won't accept what the judge is saying, the forgiveness. I'll just go my own way and pay my own punishment. And how crazy is that? Because you see, every single one of us has a choice. Whether we accept God's way of coming off death row. Death row, God actually says, all have sinned. And the punishment for sin, whether it's big sins or little sins, is death. That's the punishment. So we're all on death row. Without Jesus, without accepting Jesus. You're on death row. But if you will accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, the one who paid the price for your sin, and your Lord, and the judge actually says, I want you to come and live with me as my son. I don't just want to forgive you, I want you with me. And everything I've got, I'm going to share with you. So the criminal gets to live with the judge, who's a God of love. God is judge, but he is a God of love. And he wants to save this criminal. He wants to save every person and bring them off death row and into a relationship with him as his own child. And all the benefits that go with being in a relationship with God. Isn't that amazing good news? God loved the world so much that no matter what you've done, what sin you've committed, the little things, the big things, he gave his only son. He's already done it. Jesus has already died on the cross. That whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. What an irresistible invitation. Shall we stand?
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186, or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.